One of the most popular trends in New York is the food truck, a freshly painted, app-friendly mobile restaurant that promises the most authentic ethnic finger food, whether in the form of tacos, gyros, or crepes. However, when it comes to street food, elegant food trucks are the exception. 90% of street vendors in New York are immigrants, half of them women, and most are not selling in pricey food trucks around Midtown Manhattan, but in poor ethnic neighborhoods. Camila Osorio comes to us from Feet in Two Worlds, a project that brings the work of immigrant journalists to public radio. Her story begins in Jackson Heights, Queens.
Guadalupe is tired. 7 days a week, she works from midnight to noon, selling $2 tacos under the 7 train. She works the night shift because she says that's when people come pouring out of the bars craving tacos and quesadillas.
If a man is drunk, I will charge him before cooking. And if he doesn't have any money, I won't cook.
Guadalupe says she earns around $1,100 during the summer months, just enough to send some money to her son back in Mexico and keep a room for herself here. The image of the classic New York street vendors is usually a man selling hot dogs, pretzels, cold drinks. But there is a long history of women who started selling food to support their families when they got to New York City.
There have been women vendors in New York City for a long time.
Sean Besinski heads the Street Vendor Project, the city's largest organization representing vendors.
And some famous examples, there was the Irish women who came over in the 18-something or other called Apple Marys, and they were very famous for selling apples on the street. Even before that, there are old pictures of African-American women who were some of the first vendors in the city who often sold corn.
The history of Latinas and their contribution to street vending starts with the humble tamale, a classic finger food of meat or vegetables and cornmeal. In 2003, a group of Mexican and Central American women were selling the street food in New York. Tired of running away from the police, they thought it was unfair that immigrants who did not have legal status like them were not allowed to apply for food vending permits. They decided to organize. Eliodora Vidal, who started selling tamales in the South Bronx in 1987, tells the story of their founder, Lidia Callejas.
She used to take her kids where she sold tamales, and one day the police were going to take them away from her. That's why she decided to organize, and we started Esperanza del Barrio.
Esperanza del Barrio achieved its goal. Today, any immigrant is eligible to apply for a permit. The problem is most people who apply don't get one. It's estimated that there are 25,000 street vendors in New York. Yet, the city only issues 5,100 permits each year. Basinski says official policies make selling food on the streets tough.
Starting with Mayor Koch in the early 80s, he limited the number of licenses and permits available, something that we're still dealing with as of today, trying to get changed after 30 years. Then we had Giuliani, who closed down many streets to vendors. His theory was that vendors were a quality of life infraction that were harming people's lives. And then we had Bloomberg, who most notably raised the fines on vendors to as high as $1,000, and we finally were able to get that reduced, but after much, much work.
The city council has resisted efforts to increase the number of permits. Daniel Drum, a council member from Jackson Heights, Queens, says this is partly because of prejudice against street vendors, but also because many merchants fear competition.
Like, I got a complaint the other day from Merchants Association saying that they want a vendor removed, that they're there, that they're dirty, that they don't clean up after themselves.
Drum is one of the few council members who supports street vendors, partly because he says women vendors were some of his first supporters as an openly gay man.
So when I was younger, you know, and I would be coming home from the gay bars late at night, we would stop and we would get a shish kebab from the shish kebab lady, was what we called her. And in those days, there were very few people who were willing to accept LGBT people. But the shish kebab lady always did, and she always knew us. You know, she'd, oh, and they would joke with us, you know, where are you Queens coming from? You know, we're from Queens, the Queens from Queens.
The shish kebab ladies from Queens and the taco señoras from East Harlem are cooking and constructing what continues to make New York distinctive, authentic ethnic food. What most people don't understand is the work that goes into making these treats and the tiny compensation women like Eliodora receive.
Look, it's rough for a woman to sell tamales, And unfortunately, they are sold really cheap. The meat, you go to a butcher shop and you get it. The leaves in a Mexican bodega. The oil, you have to get it. All that is work, right? You have to make the cornmeal, and there's a variety of tamales, because the customer wants variety. So you have to start getting ready by 3 a.m. if you want to start at 6 a.m. And when you end, you have to go to the supermarket and start preparing for the next day. And it's very little what you get from that.
At the very least, vendors say they would like to earn their small living without fearing arrest. Many women without licenses still keep their fruits or tamales inside shopping carts so that they can run away if they see the police coming. For WNYC, I am Camila Osorio.